Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. It's Thursday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, producing engineering. And you hope you're doing okay, getting closer to the weekend, getting closer to the fight. Maybe getting closer to figuring out who is not going to redshirt, who will redshirt, who's going to be the primary ball carrier, if there is such a thing. Who's winning the center battle, the offensive line? A lot to talk about and get to today on Hail Varsity Radio. Hope you're doing okay. And you can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, toll free 1-800-825-5865. Those numbers very important today. Can tap the line, Schilling Bridge Court, can tap house. Why is it important to remember the phone numbers? Because I am going to qualify listeners from now until about 5:55. Not all at once. This isn't a telethon. But I'm going to announce when to call in and qualify with Colton, because we are lucky enough to have Crawford Ndongo tickets for you today. A pair. Two pair. We just audibled. We have two pair. So you want to go to the fight Saturday night? We'll be down there in the rail yard, a special pre-fight show with FM 101.5 and 1480 ESPN here in Lincoln. So we have a special show with 3:30 to 5 Saturday. We are giving you a chance to qualify between now and 5:50. And before we say goodnight tonight, we will give two lucky listeners a pair. Ndongo, Crawford, Crawford, Ndongo, Finkel is Einhorn. Okay? We'll get that handled for you. It's awesome. And I have not been to a world heavyweight champion fight. I have not been to a championship fight. I've been to a few boxing matches. I know these guys aren't heavyweights, but it's going to feel that electric in Pinnacle Bank Arena. So throughout the next 2 hours, your chance to qualify, we will draw two winners that get to go see the fight on Saturday. That's a bit of housekeeping. Good for you. Colton, what do you know, man? You fired up. You're wearing a brand, you're wearing a Petaway jersey today. A little gun show. Sun's out, guns out.
Yeah, it was warm enough for the jersey. So.
I went long sleeve today at practice and was sweating like, well, anywho, I was warm. So I had to go with the T-shirt. It wasn't flattering to my my beer gut.
Yeah, well, you know, young, still dumb, gotta try and impress the ladies.
Yeah, okay, whatever. I would just go with, yeah, it's Petaway jersey. What do you want? Okay, let's talk practice today. And here are some thoughts, and we're going to get caught up with Derek Peterson of HailVarsity.com and magazine, Dr. Petey, 15 with us in about 15 minutes. And just shoot the breeze with him about practice, about where Nebraska's at after week three. Brad Edwards, ESPN, College Football Insider, ESPN Game Day. Brad Edwards with us less than an hour from now. He's supposed to be anyway. And then in hour two, we'll talk offensive line with one of the greats, member of the pipeline, also part of the NFL, his experience, Rob Zadiska, the pride of Lincoln East. A lot of prides of Lincoln East, but Dr. Rob will be with us in about an hour and 20 minutes. Again, your chance this hour and next hour to qualify for Crawford Ndongo seats. We'll do that giveaway before we say goodbye at 6 tonight here on Hail Varsity and ESPN. Okay, so what went on at practice today? I'll be honest with you, man. Got there a little bit after 9, and I'm sitting in the stands and kind of just doing mental notes and I'm watching, and it just wasn't real whippy. Wasn't real jacked. At least on, I didn't feel that way. Now, it wasn't me going, man, why am I here? I'm excited to go watch. But it just didn't, and I'm not saying the guys weren't crisp. I'm not saying plays weren't made. No, it just was kind of dragging. And you get that. I absolutely get that at this point of the year. In camp where, dear Lord, you have two more weeks before Arkansas State gets here. So I didn't think the practice was as good as I've seen on the offensive side. Defensively, these guys just, they have their moments, and their moments seem magnified because of the potential these guys have. And they're young, and I'm talking Carlos Davis, okay? How many times have we fawned over Carlos? A lot, but he is a pure treasure to watch, not only in one-on-one drills, but also just when they're dropping back and doing some situational stuff, some red zone, or if their backs are against the goal line. Or it's 3rd and 8 drill or 3rd and 7. The quarterbacks weren't awful today. But I'll tell you this, the quarterbacks, I mean, they had all sorts of issues with, okay, I'm looking to find somebody open and I'm holding the ball. 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi. The ball's not out. There's been practices where they get the ball out, specifically Jebbia, specifically Tanner, and of course O'Brien. I mean, they get it out. They know where they want to go with the football, and they get it out, and boom, there's the separation. There's the catch. There's a few yards after the catch. Good. Great. This offense is going to be outstanding when they're hitting. But then there's moments where they are holding, they are looking, there's a delay, and then they don't get rid of it. And that's in some of the instances where the O-line is protecting the quarterback. There's no pass rush. There's no hurry that occurs. So a throw's made. It's batted down or it's minimal gain. It's just a non-win on that down. And then there are other instances today where quarterbacks, if they were to get tackled and they're not, I mean, they'd be still trying to look for their teeth, where they just get rocked, would have gotten rocked by Carlos or a blitzing linebacker. I mean, that's good. And what is going on is kind of the yin and the yang right now with this football team. Well, you'll have some days where the offense looks great, kicks the defense's butt, and that was a lesson learned type day for the defense. And you'll flip it around, and I really love how Coach Kavanaugh is taking this. I mean, probably in the meeting room he is peeling paint. He isn't happy letting the guys have it in his own way. But he's painting this as a positive to the effect of, look, they're making us better. And that's what you got to have. You got to have that constant simulation Monday through Friday of your top unit or your scout unit making your top unit better or vice versa. Or the ones going against the ones. And ultimately, by the time you face some teams, listen, you're not going to see a better defensive line than the ones you go against in practice. Or the secondary guys you're throwing against, man, good luck. You might have some people as good, but they're not going to be better. So that's what you're striving towards. So, you know, kind of a ho-hum practice today. We'll get into some of the specifics and some of the young guys that you got to ask yourself about redshirting them. And Tyshawn Lindsey's going to play. He had a great day. But a couple of other guys. I mean, Brendan Hymus, offensive line. He's kind of moved up to that number 2 tackle spot. And we'll hear from Cav how he raves on Hymus. That's a good thing for Nebraska. You have Farmer that's kind of nailed down that right guard spot. But Bo Wilson had a really good camp and still has a good camp. So you have two young guys on the line that are doing all right. You also have Farniok from the tackle spots, right? Can kind of swing for you. But also, Farniok's been playing left guard behind Foster. So you have some of these young guys that are just super, you know, a year into the program, that are really growing and doing well. That is depth and talent on your offensive line that you got to have. That is good news. D'Andre Thomas, D-Train from Oklahoma, from Mustang, Oklahoma. Mick was out. I don't know why Mick was out, but Mick was watching today. And D'Andre Thomas got some snaps with the ones at nose guard. Are they trying him out, or is this a thing? Because he had Newell moved back to defensive end. Wasn't specified because the defense didn't talk today. Maybe Riley will be asked about it tomorrow. But I think you have a handful of guys. You have Hymus on the offensive line. D'Andre Thomas at nose. If you're this late in camp and you're looking at him there, those are two guys along with Lindsey and Jalen Bradley. What do you do with him? And I'm intrigued enough from a return man standpoint and just his cutback and vision. And the guy can catch out of the backfield. And I think if you're going to do, ideally, some of your bread and butter runs will be either out of the shotgun or they'll be the old stretch, cut back, put your foot in the dirt and cut it back. The old zone blocking, and I hate to use Iowa as an example, but I'm going to use Iowa as an example, how they'll stretch it, and then you'll cut back off the tight end shoulder pad, go to the sideline, cut it back, that stretch cutback run, and you'll see some of that out of the shotgun, I think. I don't know. That's what I would run. But I would love to see Bradley just get a shot because his style is so different. He's different than Wilbon. He's different than Bryant. He's different than Ziggy. I mean, does this style mesh and match in a great way with what you want to do offensively? Just some thoughts I had. Plenty of thoughts from Kavanaugh and from Coach Langsdorf on today. There's a few players spoke as well. Tavita Thompson, man, he has kicked butt and taken names with how the tight ends are looking. So we'll spend a little bit of time there. As always, we encourage you to head to HaleVarsity.com for your practice report, your recruiting updates. Greg Smith and I did a video post-practice. That was cool to check out. Do so there. And again, Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, thoughts on Nebraska as we get near the end of week three. Now, here is Coach Kavanaugh on today's practice with his O-line and their performance overall. So here's a snippet of how it went today and how it's gone overall.
No, I didn't think we performed too well today. You know what I mean? We got to perform a hell of a lot better than that. Done a pretty good job overall. You know what I mean? There's going to be moments where something new comes up. You know, I'm not a guy that's going to tell everybody what's going on. We're going to have to figure it out and then work and then straighten it out.
Okay. So there you go. Coach Cav wasn't real down with today. He is a guy I could sit and listen to for hours because I envision an open tall boy and maybe a fishing hook and fishing pole and you're complaining about your old lady. Instead, it's him about the offensive line. Well, here is more from Cav. Cut five here. The looks, again, he is painting this positively as a way to get better. What are you going to say? Yeah, it was a bad day. He just said that. But he's not overreacting to it, and I don't know that you should either. Rob Zadiska in 1 hour to give us his take on the offensive line. Here's Coach Cav.
You got to get consistent on protection, you know what I mean? So we're getting a lot of different stuff, and it's really good. A lot of different looks, a lot to work on. So it's been fun. Oh, it's been awesome getting all kinds of looks, which is fantastic for us.
Okay, again, there we have it. Cav, getting looks will make you better. There you have it. We mentioned D'Andre Thomas, nose guard with the ones. And Cav had a thought on him today. And is this a long-term thing? Is this a guy that won't redshirt now? Or is this a guy that got a chance to run with the ones? How did he do individually? How did he affect the other two down linemen? What did he do? And he did well. I mean, he's pretty talented, and he is making some noise this late in camp.
He's doing a great job. He's fun now. I mean, the guy's powerful and he's explosive. And he's got some stuff to him. He's doing a great job with Perella. But he's an explosive guy. He's fun to watch every day and compete against. He's quick. He's got nice quickness, good get off. Does a nice job.
All right, we'll have more from Cav. We'll have more on practice from Derek Peterson. Brad Edwards coming up, Rob Zadiska. We will get you qualified right now for Indongo Crawford tickets for Saturday down at PBA. Callers 6, caller 7, caller 8. Caller 6, caller 7, caller 8. Right now qualifies for Indongo and Crawford tickets. Caller 6, caller 7, caller 8 qualifies our giveaway coming up towards the end of the show. Caller 6, caller 7, caller 8. You qualify. Colton will get you your name and number, and we'll do that giveaway towards the end of the show. 6, 7, and 8, 4, 6, 6, 3, 7, 7, 6, 4, 6, 6, 3, 7, 7, 6. Get in, 800-825-5865.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. If you're on hold, stay there. Colton will get to you here shortly, as he may or may not have everyone qualified for this last window to qualify for Crawford and Dongo. We'll have Derek Peterson shortly here on HailVarsity.com as Petey, Dr. Petey 15 is where you find him on Twitter. We'll talk some Nebraska here as get his thoughts on practice. More from Coach Langsdorf, specifically the running backs. I'm interested to see about three guys, if they redshirt or not. There's still two more weeks. Well, there's more prep time to deal with, obviously, for Arkansas State, which is important. I get that. That will commence here shortly and be a good thing for Nebraska. And with that happening, you'll need to kind of figure out not an ultimate deadline with who you're going to redshirt or when you redshirt some guys, but you need a scrimmage. And I'm wondering if that scrimmage happens tomorrow or Saturday before school gets locked in and guys got to get to class and kind of know where they stand. From a depth chart standpoint, too, you have it with the offensive line right now. Gates and Foster and Conrad and Farmer and Neville. There's your five with some guys like Bo Wilson, like Decker, like Farniok, like Hymus as kind of your backups. How much rotation will happen on the offensive line? How do you feel about it if someone goes down with the injury bug? Because Lord knows you need some guys that have a ton of mental toughness and strong will to fight through injury. Let's talk Nebraska football and welcome in with HailVarsity.com and magazine Derek Peterson at Dr. Petey 15. Derek, what's up, man? Good to have you on. Thanks for the time.
Hey, man, I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. Just I spent the first 20 minutes on the offensive line a bit, what type of day they had, not to over-dramatize it, but it's just a good living thing right now, Nebraska football. Some days the offense does well, some days the defense does well. And I wanted to kind of get your take here on the nose guard spot with D-Train, Deontre Thomas. What's your gut tell you? Was this just a glimpse for him with the ones, or is this him maybe making a push, and he's going to be a viable non-redshirt option in the middle there.
Oh, jeez. I don't know if he's making a push. I think maybe they're just trying to get some different looks in.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my best guess, because they've done a lot of moving around with guys and kind of trying to get people in different positions and looking at them in different positions. So I don't know if it's anything definite. I mean, it's notable that he's getting those reps, but I don't think it's anything too serious in the long run, if that makes sense.
No, I hear you. But is he a body type and a guy on the line that is he a body you got to have access to, or do you redshirt him? I mean, those decisions, there's still time to make those. That said,
yep.
You know, you're kind of putting a point tally together through camp, because you'll get ready for Arkansas State next week, part of the install anyway. You know, you're putting some notes down next to names. Is he a guy you think redshirts, or do you think he plays? I mean, say you got the headset on right now, what decision would you make?
Oh, geez, you put me on the spot like this.
Say I pass. Okay.
I would go with not redshirting him, actually.
Same here.
I think that would be my take on it.
Mm-hmm. Derek Peterson's with us, HailVarsity.com. I just think there's some potential there, isn't there?
Yeah, I think there's potential, especially with the body size, and you never know what's going to happen in a season. I mean, with last season, you get to the end of it, and you could tell that there was some attrition, so maybe that helps just in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a chance to play some meaningful snaps. So, I don't think you redshirt him. I wouldn't.
All right, let's talk intensity and the frickin' intensity that Kavanaugh wants. What was your reaction to the O-line today? Are you kind of like Cav, where, all right, you're pointed and it wasn't a good deal, but you're not overreacting to it? How are you? Are you judging the O-line more favorably than maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago, even though they had this type of performance today?
I think they're definitely getting there. I mean, and that's what we've heard from all the coaches, is that's such a work in progress right now, but they're happy with the progress that's being made. So I definitely think you can look at them in a more favorable light right now. I also just, nobody's playing really at full speed right now. That's my biggest thing, is I'm trying to temper all of these observations and these expectations, things like that, because no one's playing at full speed and no one's hitting each other yet.
Yeah, and we won't get to watch that.
No.
Scrimmage tomorrow or Saturday or whenever they schedule it. I would think they'd get one out of the way before school starts and all that. Derek Peterson's with us. Derek, what were some of the other takeaways you had today with what you saw, and any comments post-practice stick out to you?
I definitely saw more kind of big play ability and flash from Tyjon Lindsey. I mean, that's a guy that everybody just keeps talking about, and he keeps kind of, I guess, living up to it in practice. I mean, everything we've seen, he looks like a guy that can be kind of that third option behind Stanley and behind DPE and be a real viable option there. J.D. Spielman, I kind of thought J.D. Spielman had a weird day today. I saw him drop a couple passes that just hit him right to hands, and he just kind of went right through the middle of him, and he had a bobble on a weird play that he just looked off.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the things that I was looking at, and I think the biggest thing that keeps hitting me is that they keep wanting a running back to emerge, and we keep hearing no one has done it yet. There's not a guy yet. And then I thought it was real interesting today, Danny Langsdorf kind of walked those comments back a little bit and said that, well, it's hard for us to make an evaluation when there's no hitting. So it's not really something that we can make a definitive decision on yet, because we haven't seen how they're going to react to getting hit. And that was kind of in contrast to what they've been saying. 2 weeks ago it was, oh, well, we want to see a – a guy emerge by the end of this week. And then last Saturday was Mike Riley saying, well, we want to see a guy emerge by the end of this week or we're going to go with the committee. So I think that's definitely a situation to keep monitoring. The first guy out of Langsdorff's mouth today, though, was Mikel Wilbon when he had some praise for him. So I don't know. I like Wilbon. I keep going back and forth with it, but I like Wilbon. He showed some things today. I think Trey Bryant getting hurt probably set him back a little bit.
I think you're right. Derek Peterson's with us, HailVarsity.com, at Dr. Petey 15 on Twitter. Follow him, read him. Awesome addition to Hail Varsity and at practice today. I like Wilbon. I like Wilbon's intent on making big plays. I love his toughness between the tackles. And I like how just what type of jitterbug he could be in the screen game. I mean, I think it's there. And I think the pass blocking side of things will be okay. That's just a wing and a prayer, but I'm not worried about it because if he's your guy, he's going to be out in a pass pattern more likely. I don't keep him in to try and stop an angry 300-pounder. I just don't. With Wilbon, though, I was talking with Colton about this, and I really love Bradley's game, and I know he's super young, but I would love to watch his skill set, which is that ability to make the one cut run. His vision was tremendous. His hands are good. I would love to watch him and match him up in this offense with this line and see what he could do against opponents. Just because his style is different. It's probably closer to Bryant's, but it's still different. And he's different than anything they got on the roster. Back to the redshirt discussion. I'd be good with him playing as well, just because I think he could be really, really talented situationally. If that's how they're going to go about it, do you like that idea?
I like Bradley, but the more we hear coaches talk about him, it seems like he's kind of making those freshman mistakes.
Yeah.
I don't really know what those are.
Probably playbook, pass block, and consistency. Yeah.
We saw him running laps today.
He was just exercising, so. Dr. Petey. Come on now.
Yeah.
he wasn't getting enough work in.
Yeah. He's probably. I like what he brings to the table, but I also think that if that's the route that they're going to want to go, I'd rather see Ozigbo do it.
Yeah.
Because it's just more experience, and I think you know a little bit more what you're going to get from him. Maybe you redshirt Bradley and kind of clear up some of this the gridlock in the backfield and you have Bradley for the future moving forward.
I've got about 45 seconds, Derek. The committee approach, can the committee be a good thing and a strong thing for Nebraska's ground game? Can a cumulative attack make Nebraska less a multi-dimensional offense? Can it be good?
Yeah, it can, but a workhorse back, like a go-to guy, can do that too, just because of what they're trying to do with their offense this year. Danny talked about it this afternoon, that regardless of who's in the backfield, they want to be as dynamic as possible in what they're calling and the plays that they're running. So I think regardless of who's back there, they're going to try to do some different things. But I think the advantage of having a go-to guy kind of outweighs, well, you know, we can throw this guy in and then throw this other guy in three plays later and everybody's fresh. You know, with that approach, guys aren't getting in a groove. Guys aren't really getting into the feel of the game, and it might take them a little bit longer to warm up. You've got a go-to guy. Once he starts hitting those holes, you better look out.
Derek Peterson's with us, HailVarsity.com. Derek, thanks for the insight, man. Great to catch up today.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. There he is, Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity. Follow him, read him at Dr. Petey 15. More football thoughts next.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Okay, before we get into the running back battle, a reminder, Crawford and Dongo tickets, two pairs, will be given away in about an hour and 15 minutes here on Hail Varsity. We will qualify more listeners this segment and before the end of the hour and also into next hour. Brad Edwards is 25 minutes away. And Rob Zadiska, former Husker standout, part of the pipeline, an All-American, great lineman, pride of Lincoln East, will join us in, about 5:25. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Big thanks to Derek Peterson, talking a little bit of practice. Now, I need to mention this before we get back into the old running back debate. And there was a first pitch last night at Fenway, and I retweeted it because it's hilarious. And right now I'm watching on my phone the ceremonial first pitch be airmailed, well off target. There's a poor heavyset cameraman in back by the wall. And, it drills him in the fun bag. Period. The Nether region. And I had to mention it because I am still 12 years old at heart. Whether you see it on social media or at a family reunion, whether it's you or grandpa or your kid gets hit, not damaging, mind you, but you can't help but point and laugh and tear up. Because it isn't you. And you've probably seen it because it's only been retweeted 1,100 times and liked 2,000 times. But if you haven't, check out the ceremonial first pitch at Fenway last night. We're talking a Ricky Vaughn special that didn't find the strike zone, didn't go over the catcher's head. It went behind where a right-handed batter would be in the box on the fly. And smack drilled a poor cameraman. And then the pitcher felt shame and discomfort. I'm getting first base hand signals. It's good. All right. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Let's talk running backs. No one is separated. Why is that? Who will separate? Here is Danny Langsdorf and what he thought about where the running backs are at. What do you think of the running back situation? You optimistic? You pessimistic with it? Are you just wake me up when it's going to matter? As in you have a guy that is a difference maker? Maybe Nebraska does. You just don't know. But here's Coach Langsdorf.
It's a tough evaluation until you go live. I think Mikkel has done some really good stuff. Trey Bryant's had a good camp. I don't think it's anybody has really separated from that group quite yet. I think we need a little bit more work. Some live stuff is going to help us. Devine has really run the ball hard. I think Jalen Bradley's progressing nicely as a freshman. So, you know, you got to get some live tackling in there to really have a good evaluation when you're doing things that aren't live. It makes it hard sometimes to see how they're hitting the hole and breaking tackles and taking on those hits. So it's just a tough evaluation, and we haven't had anybody really take off with that job yet.
So you haven't had anyone take off with the job. How much opportunity has there been to evaluate? How much tackling and hitting has gone on in practice to get a gauge of who you have and what they can do and how they perform? You've seen Wilbon for how many years now? You've seen Ziggy for how many years now? You saw Bryant last year. So it's Jalen that you haven't seen in contact. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to give him one more chance to kind of showcase? Probably yes. And if push comes to shove, and I'm making the call right now, I know what Devine Ozigbo can do running the football. I know he's slimmed down. I don't know if he can stay healthy. He's had nagging injuries that have kind of derailed him. I know Bryant's good, but I know Bryant's knee's been messing with him. Missed practice again today. And then there's Wilbon. And I think Langsdorf, truth be told, I mean, I think, not that Danny's got a favorite kid, but I think Danny loves, like, the all-purpose ability of Wilbon. I think the guy can do it all. I think Wilbon's probably the closest. But, I know who's going to get me tough yards. I think Wilbon can. I know Ziggy will. He has. That's where I'm at. There's kind of your 1-2 punch. And while Ziggy's a little more power back and talented with the draw game, I think Wilbon could just be dynamic in the screen game. And he's also not soft. I mean, he runs really hard between the tackles. Tyjon Lindsey, cut 19. We'll spend a little bit more time here next segment on Tyjon, but how's his camp kind of coming together? And the dude was awesome. Burnt Lamar deep, went up between two defenders like you're watching old Miami Hurricane highlights against Nebraska. Split two guys, made a catch. He's coming along.
Better today. Better. Yeah, I think like most true freshmen, it's, you know, he's trying to get up to speed. And I think probably thinking at times too much, trying to maybe overthink stuff rather than just play. And I think that today was a little bit better example of what he can do and what he can show. There's been some days where he's played maybe not as fast because he's probably thinking. But I like what I saw today. He had a better day.
Okay, that is the ultimate battle between 17, 18-year-olds and coming into camp. How much do you know? How well do you know it? And can you get it down and just play fast? That is necessary. So we'll wrap up hour one. Brad Edwards, Rob Zadiska coming up. Still a chance for you multiple times to qualify for Crawford Ndongo. We'll take caller 7, caller 8, caller 9 right now. Caller 7, caller 8, caller 9 right now to qualify. And a little more than an hour from now, we will draw two names who get tickets to Crawford Ndongo with ESPN, FM 101.5, 1480. And give us a buzz, 466-3776, 466-3776. Can use the 800 line, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 7, 8, and 9 right now. Qualify for Crawford Ndongo. 7, 8, 9. Get qualified. Be nice to Colton. Don't swear at him. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 7, 8, and 9. Qualify for Crawford Ndongo.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Y'all are keeping Colton busy. I love it. Phone's ringing off the hook. Your chance to qualify for Crawford Ndongo. Before we say goodbye to hour one, plenty of time next hour. And the drawing for Crawford Ndongo tickets before we say goodbye at 6 here on Hale Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Hope you're doing all right. Thoughts on Nebraska. We spent a lot of time. Derek Peterson joined us this hour of Hale Varsity. His take on practice today. And listen, the O-line didn't have a good day. That happens. Tyjon Lindsey continues to look for real. That is nice. We spent time on the running back situation. And you heard from Coach Langsdorf. Listen, it's not that a guy can't emerge. I don't know that a guy will emerge. They still need to evaluate via the whole contact thing. And you know what? You know what can happen. I like Azigbo a ton. I just do. He's a tough runner. He's good. Does he do it all for you as well as some other guys? I don't know. But I know he's played well since his freshman year And I'm good with that. And I think Wilbon's ready to just say, I've been here 400 years, man. It's my turn. Let me take this thing. And with Brian, I don't know what's up with his knee. I don't. I mean, when I hear, like, management, I tend to think tendonitis, but I'm not a doctor, nor have I been given a medical evaluation on him. And then there's Jalen, and Derek Peterson subtly talked me out of, yeah, play him. Let's rock. I'd still like to see him go, but I think you're pretty well set there. And you want to know who's pretty freaking good? Just a guy that I like watching run. This is a bit of my bias from covering him in high school. I think Austin Rose can run the football. I think he's pretty nice. Is he as good as the other guys? I don't know. This from the world of paranoia and being a psycho in some corners. Michigan football is hiding its football roster. What do you mean by hiding? I mean that Jim Harbaugh has not updated his roster from last year. Okay. On purpose. Yeah. There's a Freedom of Information Act filed by New Jersey to get their roster. They're not asking for a depth chart. Hell no. They're asking for a roster. 2 weeks from game time. Due to the large number of requests currently being possessed by this office, it will not be possible to respond to your request within 5 days, accorded by the Michigan Freedom of Information Act. However, under Section 5.2D of the Act, the university is permitted to extend the deadline for no more than 10 business days beyond the initial due date. The university will respond to your request on or before August 25th. There was no 2D before going into Colorado last week or last year. Colorado almost won that game. Brad Edwards, 10 minutes away. Caller 5, caller 6 right now for Crawford Ndongo qualification. An hour from now, we're giving 2 tickets away. Caller 5 and 6 now, 466-3776.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
About 30 minutes away, we'll get caught up with Rob Zadiska, part of the Pipeline, legendary offensive lineman for Nebraska. His thoughts on the O-line for Nebraska football 2017. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you, hour 2 of Hail Varsity Radio Magazine at HailVarsity.com. More chances for you to get qualified for the fight, the championship fight Saturday at Pinnacle Bank Arena in Dongo. Bud Crawford, we have a couple of pairs of tickets for you to give away. We'll continue qualifying, and then we'll do that giveaway before 6 o'clock tonight. He's with ESPN. He's an ESPN insider. He's a college football guru, and he is part of game day. Brad Edwards with us to start off this second hour. Brad, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
Doing great. Got my vacation in the rearview mirror, and I'm focused on opening week now, which isn't all that far away. I'm fired up.
Are you? You know, you sounded, there's a twinge of sadness into rear view and vacation. Where did you go? How did you spend the last 3 hours before football?
Well, my kids, for some reason, wanted to drive this year instead of fly to vacation. I grew up in Mississippi, and so all my beach time as a kid was spent on the Gulf of Mexico. And, you know, living in Connecticut, the big places to go are Rhode Island or out to Cape Cod in Massachusetts. And I didn't want my kids to grow up thinking that those were were like really good beaches because they're not if you've been to the Gulf. And so so I started taking them down there. And so this was a return trip. Last time we flew, this time they wanted to drive. And I think we round trip put about 4,000 miles on my car. And anyone who's who's driven long distances with kids in the car knows people start to get on each other's nerves after a while. So it's fun, but at the time when it finally comes to an end, it couldn't have ended soon enough.
I hear that. I didn't do 20 hours, but I sign off on that for sure. Brad Edwards with us. Brad, let's dive into some macro college football things. And when you look at this quarterback class of 2017, and you know, you got Allen, you got Francois, you have Darnold, you have Tanner Lee getting some love. I mean, you have quarterbacks in every conference that could do a lot or already have done a lot. And is this one of the things you're kind of circling for 2017, just the number of quarterbacks out there and how well they perform? Is that one of the storylines you're interested in?
Yeah, it is. And look, I think last year's national championship game was a great example of how much of a difference it makes to have a great quarterback. We saw Deshaun Watson 2 years ago put Clemson on his shoulders and almost beat Alabama. And then going into last year's game, I remember in the pregame show on radio, breaking down position by position. And Alabama was better than Clemson. And Clemson was a very talented team. But Alabama was better than Clemson at almost every position. They were better than Clemson most of the special teams. They certainly, you give them the advantage at head coach, no question. And yet, when it was all said and done, I said, I like Clemson to win the game because I think they're that much better at quarterback. And that one position just makes such a big difference compared to all the others. And so, you know, I think that's the bottom line with football, is that if you have a really good quarterback, that can overcome a talent deficit at a lot of other positions on the field. And that's why it's so important to have one of those guys. And, you know, I look at the SEC this year, and the one team that I think could be a real X factor is Auburn. And the question is, you know, is Jarrett Stidham overhyped? You know, did people make too big of a deal out of the small sample that we saw of him at Baylor? Or is he that good? And if he is, if he ends up being one of the better quarterbacks in the country, I think Auburn has a chance to win the SEC West and end this Alabama dynasty. Well, maybe not end the dynasty, but at least end the streak of SEC championships that they're on. And you can look across other places. Look, everybody's kind of conceding the Big Ten West to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And as I told you last time we talked, I kind of see Nebraska as a 7-5 type of team. But if Tanner Lee is a lot better than what we saw at Tulane, and you know, from hearing the people who have watched him, he apparently is, then maybe Nebraska isn't being given enough consideration as a team with a chance there in the Big Ten. So every conference has a team like that, you know, where you're like, you know what, if this guy could end up being really good, or if somewhere they have a quarterback on that roster. Florida is another team like that. I look their quarterback competition right now. Everybody's kind of like looking at Georgia right now in the SEC East. And, Florida's won that division 2 years in a row, but we're still looking at them like, yeah, who's their quarterback? Well, if one of those guys who's in that competition can play, then maybe they're a threat and a team that we need to take more seriously. So, yeah, it is a big deal. And then that goes well beyond, you know, everything on the national scene in terms of awards. And, the Heisman has long been now a quarterback award, and I would expect a quarterback will win it again this year. The question is which one, because there seem to be a bunch of guys that, you know, that are in position. And look, for most of the last 8 years or so, the Heisman winner has been someone who was barely on the radar, if at all, before the season started. And so We weren't talking about Lamar Jackson this time last year.
No.
So not only is it likely to be a quarterback, but there's a decent chance it could be someone that's not even in this group of quarterbacks we're all discussing.
You know, Brad Edwards is with us, ESPN.com, and Game Day and ESPN Insider. Brad, you're so right, and you have a team, it seems like, that kind of comes out of nowhere to have a really good season. And I was talking with some guys last night, and, you know, you had the Penn State jump where they got hot, they were good, they recruited well, but it all came together, and they were for real. I mean, they were awesome last year offensively and good, just good enough defensively to shake things up. You had Oklahoma's championship run, and this goes back, 17 years with Stoops, where they weren't even ranked, or maybe they were ranked like 25th, but the Heupel year, I remember that team really well because it was just out of the blue. Auburn, I mean, people thought Cam Newton was going to be fantastic, but was he going to be that big a difference maker? They won a championship and rallied from, 24 down against Bama. So it can happen. Is there a team right now you're circling that – totally off the radar, but man, you're hearing some things where if it does hit, there'll be that surprise team. Is there anyone out of the Big 12? Is there anyone out of the Big 10 that could kind of be another Penn State this year? Is there anyone out of the Pac-12? I think the Pac-12 is really talented. I think the ACC is fantastic. They just need some more non-conference stuff. Who's on your radar to be that under the radar team?
You know, one team that comes to mind, and I'm not sure how much of a playoff threat they are, but one team that really could take it to a level higher than people are expecting out of them this year is Miami.
Okay.
I think they really started to put it together on defense last year. They've got enough of those guys back that if they could find a quarterback, and that's a big if because they're going to be relying on someone who we basically haven't seen yet. But if there is a star in the making and someone who very quickly figures things out, and of course those guys are rare. There are a lot of guys who, after a couple years of kind of learning how to play at the college level, their talent starts to rise to the surface. But it is rare to have that guy like a Cam Newton, who even though he was a junior and a JC transfer. He had not started yet at that level. To see a guy like that perform that way for the first time against that level of competition is rare, but it does happen. And Miami is a team that I think if they were to get far better than expected quarterback play, could make some noise. And I think they're a threat. They play Florida State during the regular season. Obviously, if they get to the conference championship game, which I think they're expected to win that division, whether they get great quarterback play or not. They're a threat to knock off an FSU or a Clemson in the conference championship game. And so that's a team I would keep an eye on that even if they aren't able to, you know, be in that top five mix themselves at the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't end up being good enough by the time it's all said and done that they are a major threat to be a spoiler in that final weekend.
Brad, do you have a gut on Michigan right now? I mean, they lose a ton. They've recruited well on paper. They've been so close. And what should Michigan do under Harbaugh? I mean, what are your expectations? Take the step away from the hundreds of teams you have to cover and analyze, and just look at Michigan with the investment that's there. What should Michigan do? What do you think Michigan will do?
Well, I think Harbaugh is at this point maybe a little bit of a victim of being ahead of schedule in terms of what his teams did. You know, winning 10 games each of the first 2 years, especially on the heels of the Brady Hoke disaster. It came a little bit quicker than expected, and because of that, the bar has been raised to a point where a lot of Michigan fans are ready to be back on Ohio State's level again. I'm just not sure that this year is the year that you can reasonably expect that, given what Michigan lost and how much Ohio State and some other teams in the conference have coming back. Now, I think it is going to be a fun year to see where Harbaugh is, because given the mass exodus of you know, upper-class talent he had last year, this is essentially going to be his team. Not entirely, but this is going to be, for the most part, a younger team where most of the impact players are guys that Harbaugh has recruited. And I think it'll give us an idea of what to expect from them going forward. I would be very impressed if they can make it through October with no more than two losses, where they're still in the hunt. I think they have a chance to be a player, because this is a team that I think has some similarities to last year's Ohio State, in that, you know, they have, you know, one of the lowest numbers of returning starters in the country, and yet their biggest game arguably is the one at the very end, mm-hmm. when they play that rivalry game. And so much like last year at this time, we're saying, okay, you know what, Ohio State has like five starters back, but by the time they play at home against Michigan at the end of the season, they're not going to be that inexperienced team that we're all talking about right now. Same thing with Michigan this year. By the time that Ohio State game comes along in Ann Arbor, it will not be the same inexperienced bunch of guys we're talking about right now. And I think they have a lot of talent. So the question is, can they avoid losing a couple of games in the first two-thirds of the season? And if they can, I think they have a chance to be a factor in the Big Ten.
Brad Edwards with us, College Football Insider, ESPN, the magazine, ESPN.com, ESPN Radio, and, of course, College Game Day. Brad, I have about 90 seconds, and we heard from Coach Langsdorf today on balance. He'd like to be. That's his goal, but it'll go game by game. He didn't give us a run pass number. How important is that, or can a guy at quarterback overcome your inability to run the football in a conference like the Big Ten?
Yeah, and of course, so much of it has to do with your style of offense. Yeah. But I remember talking to Mike Leach several years ago. It was actually when he was in between Texas Tech and Washington State, about balance. And you know, his comment was that everybody tries to frame balance as a run-pass ratio. Mm-hmm. And he said, from a defensive standpoint, what you're concerned about is not whether they're going to run or pass, but it's who's going to get the ball and in what part of the field are they going to get it. And so he said, you could throw the ball on 100% of your plays, but if every eligible receiver is always in the mix, and you don't know whether the ball is going short, deep, left, right, middle, whatever, then they have to defend the whole field. And that is way more stressful in a defense than, you know, running half the time and throwing half the time. So if you can throw the ball well enough and you have enough different targets that are available and are threats in the passing game, you don't have to be a great running team. And Washington State and Leach and his teams over the years are not the only great example of that. Look, Ole Miss beat Alabama 2 years in a row, not being able to run the ball. But I think what helped them is that they didn't even try to waste plays doing something that they weren't good at. They just came out and threw, and they ran the quarterback some. So it certainly can be done, and I think it's a little bit overrated, the need to have a 50-50 ratio or close to it.
Brad, that was awesome. Thanks for a few minutes talking some college football. We'll get caught up soon and get cranked up for football. Thanks for your time, sir.
All right, thanks, Chris.
There he is. Brad Edwards, College Game Day. And I love the pirate reference. Huh? Stress the defense. Who you throwing to, where are they going to be? Callers 7, 8, and 9 right now qualifies for Crawford and Dongo. Crawford and Dongo tickets will be given away in 30 minutes. Caller 7, caller 8, caller 9 qualifies with Hail Varsity and ESPN. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Rob Zadiska next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Let's get an offensive line preview from an all Big 8 performer, NFLer, and Well, GPA's still awesome. Rob Zadiska is with us. Dr. Rob joins us. Rob, how you been, man? Great to spend a few minutes with you.
I'm doing well. A good, busy summer, but, I mean, things are going well. Kids just got back to school, which kind of tells you it's almost football season.
It is. You'll be smelling runses and hot dogs and barbecues shortly, and you can hear Rob and Travis Justice. Doc Talk Sports is their podcast. They do football. They talk beer. That is the mother of all combinations. it's a great thing, Rob. And I'm excited about this 2017 season. I've had a chance to get to the practices that are open and the offensive line another year older. Will they be a year better? Let's start there with Coach Cav and his guys. How you feeling going into this year with those guys?
You know, I think I feel better than last year. You know, going into the season last year, I thought it was going to be a pretty decent line. You know, I thought center was a little bit of a weak spot last year. You know, I think Dylan was a kid who's, he's kind of a gamer, hard-nosed kid, heck of a fighter, but undersized. But I think that was kind of they felt that was the best they had in terms of both experience and somebody who knew the offense. This year, compared to last year, I mean, still time that injuries could take place. But I mean, going into last year, again, I thought they were going to be pretty good up until that point that Gerald Foster got injured. And I thought he was, and still do, kind of has kind of some star potential at that guard spot. And when he had that knee injury last year, I think that really set the offensive line back in terms of both chemistry, because when you get used to playing with a group of guys, and that caused a little bit of shuffling, and so that throws things off. At the same time, too, you were taking a guy who, I think in terms of total package, size, strength, footwork, and then when you watch him play, he's got a bit of a mean streak. And having that aggressiveness, you have to have. But I thought he was the best total package of all those different attributes that they had on the offensive line. And to lose that, basically, essentially, before the season even gets started, I thought that kind of was a bit of a blow to the offensive line. And I'm not sure they really ever really truly recovered from, even though Foster came back before the end of the season. It was kind of almost in a bit role there for those last few games. The fact that he's back going in, it seems like he's been playing well. I think I would expect Farmer to make some improvements over last year at that guard spot. So I think you've got a couple of guys at the guard positions who I think could be really good. Center, I think, is still a little bit of a question mark. And if you don't have a really, really good player there, it can really change how the line as a whole plays. If you have somebody who's playing good football at that center spot, you got a talented guy, a big guy, somebody who's got some good leadership attributes, that alone can really spur on a great season from that position group. You have somebody who's a little bit of a weak link at the center position, you know, that's going to set things back, and nothing's ever going to be quite right if you've got a weak link.
Rob Zadiska is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Rob, you're so right about the center, and in the spring they moved Conrad over there. I thought Conrad did well at the tackle spot when asked to a year ago. Now he's at center.
I did too. Yeah, especially he was kind of a thrown in there, which he wasn't who I thought was going to be the center this year, but from the reports I'm hearing, it sounds like he might be the guy.
Cavs like, let's get the five best on the field, and Conrad's shown that he can do it. I like what you're saying about Farmer at that guard spot. Bo Wilson is a young guy that's been doing well.
Well, and Wilson's a guy that I think we could, you know, Kavanaugh's not one of those guys who's been known to rotate a lot of guys
right.
I think Wilson's one of the few guys that you're going to probably see rotating in this year. I think he was one of those guys who, you know, coming out of the senior season in high school, he wasn't one of those really big name guys that you heard a lot of schools going after. And he went down, you know, I don't even know. It used to be the Army All-American
right.
football game. I think it's the Under Armour mm-hmm. game now. I could be wrong on that. But he played in there and ended up playing against a whole slew of five-star defensive tackles or defensive nose guards, and ended up absolutely holding his own and actually kind of shoved a lot of those guys around. And I think that kind of opened a lot of eyes that Nebraska might have gotten a little bit of a steal in the recruiting game getting Bo Wilson. But he's a guy, I think, for a really young guy, we might actually see rotating in a lot here over the course of this season.
Right tackle is something we've spent a lot of time talking about, and I wanted to get your thoughts because the time is now for David Neville. Is a guy that has the measurables, is a guy that that is, you see the talent potential when you look at the recruiting game, and what can this year be for him? Can they bring out that angry streak in him?
And that's what I was going to say. You got a guy there who, in terms of size, strength, and footwork, I know I was talking to Coach Tenneper before he passed away, and Neville was one of these guys that Tenneper thought could just be basically as good as he wanted to be. Tenneper said he's hardly ever seen a guy that size with that good a foot. But again, you got a guy from an experience standpoint, he's only played football for a few years. Mm-hmm. It's hard to take a guy and really get him to flip that switch in terms of that aggressiveness and that toughness that you've got to be able to play that position. That you got to have a little bit of a killer instinct. I don't know if he's developed that yet. There's kind of an innate toughness. Now, he's had a number of injuries, and I've had some injuries. I would never accuse a guy of basically sandbagging it, mm-hmm. I guess. But is this a guy who's going to be able to power through some of these aches and pains that you're going to constantly have? And I say that because he's a guy who doesn't have a lot of football experience, and learning how to play with pain, learning how to play with a degree of injury. Now, you don't get through a football season unscathed. Everybody has a handful of at least some niggling injuries that you play with on a constant basis. Now, I'm not talking about things that are going to be debilitating. I'm not talking about sending somebody out with post-concussion syndrome, anything like that. But I'm saying, is he a guy who's going to be able to pick up 2, 3, 4, 5 of these little niggling aches and pains that plague every football player over the course of the season, and be able to continually go out and play with those injuries? And that's something I'm not sure if that question's been answered yet. But again, kind of like you said, the clock's kind of ticking on him. Doesn't exactly have a whole lot of time left here, but if he's a guy who can develop, like you called it, that mean streak and that ability to flip that switch and go out and just want to destroy the guy across from him, he's got all the tools to do it.
Let's stay at the tackle spot. And Nick Gates, his first 2 years at Nebraska was as good as advertised, and then took him a long time to get over what Tennessee and Barnett did to him. Guys that talented rarely experience failure. It's about how they bounce back. And Rob, I mean, you can speak to it, right?
that was a dirt road ass kicking. I'm not sure I can say that on the air. That might
be
bleeped out.
No, you're good.
That was one of those. I hated watching that performance because that was probably the worst performance I've seen out of him since he's been at Nebraska. I know he was fighting a few injuries. He had some lower leg
ankle injuries. The guy was 50% to 70%.
Yeah.
I will swear
that alone kind of sets you back. He's also going out and doing that against a guy who broke Reggie White's sack record at Tennessee. That's no small feat. So it's not like, and the guy was a first-round draft. Yeah, it's not like he was playing. It's not like he got his butt kicked by chump change here. That wasn't just some high school kid grocery clerk that they pulled off the sideline and threw a uniform on. And I, as an offensive lineman, as a former Nebraska lineman, it was upsetting to watch that. In hindsight, the more I thought about it, he's dealing with an injury. He's trying to get out there and help his team in a year when Nebraska's offensive line didn't have much in the way of depth. He probably was Nebraska's best option at tackle that day. He got his butt kicked. In hindsight, I'm not as upset about it as I was at the time I watched the game. I've always liked Nick Gates. I think he's got a ton of talent. I'd like to see him put on, honestly, a little bit more mass. I think he moves well. I think he's got incredibly good technique. I'd love to see more upper body strength out of him. I think that would help him a lot in some situations. He's got some time to develop it, and I'd like to see that. I think he's going to be better this year than he was last year. I don't think that move from right tackle to left tackle was as easy as people thought it was going to be either. And then on top of it, the injury slowed him down. I think Nick could still be an all-time great. I hope he does, because I've got a lot of respect for what he's done in a short period of time already.
Rob, to wrap this scheme and the rushing numbers and the term toughness, can Nebraska's O-line be tough enough to grind out some rushing yards? When they hit 200, they win. And if you have a balance on offense, run and pass, you're pretty tough to stop if you're a defense. Can they move towards a better balance, or with a potentially more accurate quarterback, will they have to?
I think they've got the potential to do that. I like Tommy Armstrong, the guy, again, I mentioned this about Dylan Utter. The kid's a gamer. incredible toughness, and he had some great athletic ability. He's not your classic quarterback. And he wasn't, even for, you talk about a guy like being a dual threat quarterback, he wasn't a great dual threat quarterback. He was a lot better running the ball by far and away than he was throwing it. I think if Armstrong was a better throwing quarterback, I think it helps the running game. It gives you another dimension that teams have to worry about. I think this year, now that you've got some quarterbacks that are going to better fit Langsdorf's system, better fit Riley's system, it may give Nebraska more of, I hate calling it a dual threat, but I think it might give Nebraska more balance than they had last year. I think the fact that Nebraska's passing attack has the potential to be more legitimized by who they've got at quarterback now. And they're almost three deep at guys that fit that profile that I think Riley and Langsdorf wanted at that position. I think Langsdorf and Riley kind of changed the offense to sort of fit the talent they had with Armstrong. Mm-hmm. But I think having guys that can, well, supposedly are going to be better able to throw the ball, are going to give them another edge. And by having an effective passing game, you can't just load 7-8 guys in the box like they did the last couple of years, because I think they did do that knowing that the likelihood of Armstrong beating them with his arm was not exactly high.
Rob Zadiska with us, Hale Varsity Radio, great offensive lineman at Nebraska, national champion, NFLer, and Dr. Rob. And you can find his podcast at Doc Talk Sports. Him and Travis Justice talk football, drink beer. You can find that on iTunes. Rob, I'd love to catch up again and talk some more football. Thanks for giving us a few minutes today.
Most definitely. You guys have a great afternoon.
Dr. Rob Zadiska, dirt road ass kicking. Quote that, get the T-shirt going. And he is fun to listen to. His thoughts on the O-line, great. Recruiting news, Manny Allen giving Nebraska the old Heisman. He's going to the current reigning Heisman winner's receiving room, apparently. Recruiting news shortly. That, when we come back, Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com. Your chance here next few minutes to qualify, about 20 minutes away, a little less than, from the boxing giveaway.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HaleVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We'll effort Deb the Spa Lady shortly. And your chance here before we say goodbye to qualify again for Crawford Ndongo tickets. We'll have a pair of tickets to give away next segment. Two pair of tickets to give away next segment total here with the ESPN and Hale Varsity. Okay, recruiting news. Just checking out HaleVarsity.com as Manny Allen flips to the Ville, Louisville. And that was always an interesting dynamic at receiver for Louisville. And I remember the former Cane, Lamar Thomas, left Louisville to go to Kentucky. Lamar was, well, we'll just say charismatic. So Nebraska's 2018 recruiting class got punched in the face this evening. And you have Manny Allen. He's out of Corona, California. He tweeted out that he is decommitting from Nebraska and he is headed towards Louisville. I get Petrino. I get Lamar. I don't get a kid going from California to Louisville. But then again, why is a kid coming to Lincoln from Louisville from California? I get it. Keith Williams is my answer. We'll spend a few more minutes on recruiting in a second, but time to relax, especially if you're a hardcore Nebraska recruiting fan. Might need to go see Deb the Spa Lady and pick that spa out so you can go soak in tough times like this. Deb, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying this a little bit cooler weather.
And our guys are just out there delivering spas like crazy. We've got the big state fair that opens up a week from Friday. So people are coming in ahead of time. They're taking advantage of these state fair specials, and they're getting their tubs delivered before they go out to the fair. Then they can come home afterwards and sit and relax and soak their aching feet. So we're making that happen with a lot of great deals.
Deb, tell me about some of these deals, because they can come see you, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, also an Omaha location. They can come check you out, see what's on the showroom, also come see at the fair to get those corn dogs and sit in a hot tub. They can do all of that, but you're telling me that there are some deals going on right now, correct?
Well, that's right, because when we get this close to the fair, we know exactly what we're going to do, and our manufacturers start working with us on those prices. And so we start to offer them right away. That way, you know, a week from now, we don't have someone say, well, wait a minute, I just bought a spa from you last week, and now there's a better deal? No, that isn't going to happen. We make sure it's the best deal from now going forward. And a lot of people have taken advantage of that. We've got a lot of tubs in stock. So come in to the stores and look at what we have, the whole package. It's not just the tub. It's the cover. It's the delivery. It's the LED lighting. It's the waterfall. It's the lift. I mean, I could go on and on. You really, there isn't anything extra that you could buy almost. You know, maybe if you want a stereo in it so you could listen to you, Chris, of course, that would be an option. And we've got a lot of tubs with stereos in them. So we've got it all.
See, the Barry White playlist only. Hot tub is the way I go. But that's a great thought, to listen to me while you're in the hot tub. I mean, that's every woman's dream, isn't it? Who's the smoker on the radio? I'm kidding. Deb, 20th and Highway 2 is where you're at. Home Innovation Spas, 25 years and counting. You're going to be at the State Fair. We're going to talk to you at the State Fair next week. And you have State Fair pricing going on right now. SpasOnline.com is where you can log on. Deb, real quick, they're all special. But what's one folks need to keep an eye on that they can come see at your store or come visit you at the fair and see, spa-wise?
I would come look at the 7-foot by 7-foot Cal Spa, 35 jets, 2 pumps, LED lights, waterfall, the whole package. That's the deal of the fair.
That is awesome. That is fantastic. Mm-hmm. The waterfall sounds very enticing. Deb, the spa lady.
Oh, very relaxing.
It is.
Very relaxing.
Deb, we will talk to you from the State Fair next week. Thank you so much.
Okay. Sounds great. Thanks, Chris.
There she
Bye-bye.
Is. Bye-bye. Deb, the spa lady. I was going to ask her, they have Husker Red. You can get that color. They don't have Louisville Red. Okay? There's a difference. Back to recruiting. So here is Manny Allen's tweet. I want to thank the University of Nebraska and the whole coaching staff for the opportunities to play in Lincoln. My life has had its ups and downs, and I'm far from perfect. But I'm striving to be the best. And I feel it is in my best interest for me to decommit from Nebraska. I will, on the other hand, be committing to the University of Louisville. Bird Gang 18. Where you at? I'm all in. Let's win the national championship together. Hashtag coming to the Ville. Hashtag Lamar going to the NFL. It's all good, man. No, and listen, Manny's good. Manny's a talent. Manny's from a region that, I mean, let's be straight, a region that's gone and done well for Nebraska. You think of Corona, California. When I think of Corona, I think of obviously the beer. But when I think of Corona, the other thing I think of with Corona is Quincy Enunwa and Taylor Martinez. Two really, really good players at Nebraska. And the thing that stuck out was the size and athleticism. Jay Moore did a really nice write-up on the Friday Night Lights earlier this summer and was very high on Manny Allen. 7 prospects who looked the part. He made that list. So this isn't over, I would suspect, if you're Nebraska. Keep after it. You just had a recommit. You got to make a decision. How bad do you want to mess with him? Is there someone else on your board you can go get that you think could work? It's a fair question. But if he's your guy, then you go get him again. Now, Nebraska does have good news, and Greg Smith will be able to update and add further recruiting insight to this with HaleVarsity.com at GregSmithHV. Tommy Bush is 6'5", 190 pounds. He's a four-star wideout from Texas. He made his announcement today that he'll visit Nebraska for the Wisconsin game. So there's always contingencies in recruiting. And if we're talking the diva spot, the wideout spot, my man, it is about knowing where the bread's buttered. And that is, what type of coach can you go play for and relate to? Nebraska's got the best, in many opinion, Keith Williams. All right, caller 7, 8, and 9. One last rodeo for you to get qualified. 7, 8, 9 qualifies for Crawford and Dongo. We are giving away two pair of tickets, Crawford and Dongo, in 6 minutes. Start the timer. Caller 6, what did I say, 7, 8, 9? Thank you. I'm losing my mind. 789 right now. 466-3776. 466-3776.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hale Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
There's still some. The phones are just going nuts here. Do you, Colton? Do you want to take any more people? Like, we're talking sneaking in. Two people. Colton's like, I'm sick of writing numbers and people's names down. God love them. Okay, Colton's going to take two more people, and then Colton's going to draw in two names shortly. Colton, the shot clock is on, my friend. I'm going to talk John Elway moment here, like two-minute drill. Two lucky listeners are getting in at the last possible moment. We will freeze the phone lines up and deliver you a couple of winners. Good luck and God bless. Big thanks to Brad Edwards. Big thanks to Rob Zadiska. Big thanks to Derek Peterson for spending some time with us here on Hale Varsity Radio today. And listen, the fight is going to be awesome. The pre-fight show is going 3:30 to 5 on Saturday. And Blood and Guts continues Saturday night the 26th with Mayweather-McGregor as the combat worlds collide, boxing and MMA. So are you getting it? I don't know. If you're not, that's probably a good idea, because experience it live as it happens on the biggest and best screens in Lincoln at Longwell's, just across from the rail yard. 20 hours from Thursday at 4 till noon Friday, your shot to reserve a spot at Longwell's for just $20. $20, how's that? You get to hang out at Longwell's, amazing TV setup. $20 gets you McGregor and Mayweather. 140 beers on tap. That is a winner there. And you can call and reserve your ticket now at Longwell's to see McGregor Mayweather for $20. 402-853-9255. That's 402-853-9255. $20, McGregor Mayweather, Longwell's, Saturday the 26th. Can email tickets at longwells.com. And of course, ESPN, FM 101.5, 1480. We'll be rocking it there. We'll be rocking this weekend down at PBA. Pre-fight show, 3:30 to 5. And, of course, Ndongo and Crawford. Without further ado, it is time to give two sets of tickets away to Crawford and Ndongo, courtesy of ESPN. So, Colton, welcome to this hazing. We have 1 minute left. Who do we got? I need the first and last names of our two lucky winners. Are you up for this? You can say yes. It's okay.
Yep. Here we go.
Okay.
So we're going to go.
Speak clearly.
We're going to go with just call me Iowa Russ. Russ Otto.
Wow.
And we're going to go Mark Hurt, who was our last qualifier.
Really? So he got in last and you shuffled it all around in the box? Mark Hurts. Right? Hurts?
Hurt.
Hurt.
H-U-R-T.
Hurt. Like everyone else is hurt that he got in. Mark Hurt and then Russ Otto. I'll be damned. Hey, Mark and Russ, congrats. Everyone else, we want to see you down there. Pre-fight show, 3:30 to 5. Talk to you tomorrow at 4.